You're listening to New Churches Podcast, a production of Send Network on newchurches.com. We discuss all things church planting. If you're looking to take your next step toward multiplication, you're in the right place. newchurches.com provides relevant and reliable resources for church planters, church multipliers, and disciple makers. Our growing library features pastors, planters, and church leaders like Ed Stetzer, David Platt, Matt Chandler, Trillia Newbell, Christine Hoover, Dehati Lewis, Trevin Wax, and many others.
Hey there, welcome to the New Churches Podcast. My name's Clint Clifton, and today I'm joined with Trevin Wax. Hey, Trevin.
Hey, Clint. Glad to be here.
Yeah. Well, this episode is going to be a little bit different than some of the others we've done. We're going to talk about a product that we've been working on, Trevin and I have been working on basically since we've known each other. We're going to talk about the Church Planting Masterclass. And Trevin, you want to just describe what the masterclass is?
Yeah. So this is actually, you're right. I think the first day that we actually met was when some filming was going on for this,
right,
back in the spring of 2021. This was Ed Stetzer's brainchild.
Yeah.
He was working with you and with others. And I think just out of a desire to provide some resources for free,
yeah,
for people who were dipping their toes into church planting or were already in the process, or just planters that want to grow their knowledge and hear from some practitioners and from some well-respected leaders across the spectrum of evangelicalism when it comes to church planting. And so he really, you know, Ed has the, I like to say he has the power of convening.
Yeah.
He brought a lot of friends and colleagues and people together to help make this a reality. And we've been excited to watch over the last few months as different parts of the course have unrolled.
Yeah. Yeah. He's a great convener, and he's also uniquely positioned. I don't know how the Lord made him this way, but he's uniquely positioned to be respected by various evangelical groups. And we're in a day when, people who differ in their opinions have a hard time relating to one another. And Ed's really, really good at that. He's made friends with various tribes. And so, when I first heard this, I don't know about you, Trevin, but when I first heard Ed say, we want to do a church planting masterclass, I think we should do a church planting masterclass, everybody in the room was like, oh, that's a brilliant idea. And I was real quiet because I thought, that sounds so pretentious, you know.
And ambitious too.
Ambitious.
But also ambitious. Like, how are you going to convene the people that could help make that?
You know? Yeah. Yeah. If anybody could do it, Ed could do it, you know. But at the same time, I'm like, is there really any masters in church planting? I mean, I'm just close enough to how difficult church planting is to kind of feel like, well, actually, as I've watched it roll out, and I definitely was a slow adapter to the idea, but as I've gone to these various places and watched these videos come together, I've learned so much and really thought, man, these really are masters in their particular category in their craft.
Yeah, masters, but they don't come across in that pretentious way. Like,
yeah,
when you can tell there are masters that are continuing to learn, to grow, to want to get better at what it is that they're doing, to lean, yeah, on the experiences on the past, but not necessarily let their experiences from the past shade everything about the way that they are going to recommend other people do things in the future. I think that's, yeah, key. There's that built-in aspect of contextualization, I think.
Yeah.
In the people that we've got in this class. And so, and you really see that coming through. It's not a one size fits all kind of a course at all. It's more of an approach. Here's the way to be thinking through these things. Here are things to learn. Here are things to take away, things that you'll want to have in your toolbox.
Yeah. And just as diverse as the group of people we've assembled is, the spectrum of sort of philosophical ideas or abstract ideas, to really, really practical ideas is represented in the whole course. So today, yeah, what we're going to do is Trevin and I are going to have a conversation about three clips from the masterclass. Actually, we're going to do two episodes on this, and we're going to differentiate for you between two. There's really two masterclasses. There's the Sending Church Masterclass, which is designed specifically for those churches that have a desire to multiply. It's sort of a way of getting the congregation to understand what multiplication is all about. And there's 40 videos in that class. So we're gonna play you clips from three of those videos, and Trevin and I are gonna have a brief conversation about them. And then in the next episode, you're gonna hear about the Church Planting Masterclass. That's made up of 80 videos, and it's really designed to be a tool for you. If you'd like to lead your church to multiply, you could use this as a part of your equipping. So we're gonna start off by listening to a little clip from Jimmy Scroggins, where he talks about the ready leader. So let's hear that.
This idea of committing to be a people developer is the key to us having enough planters to plant enough churches to move the needle all over America and really all over the world. So how are we going to do that? We've got to develop and invest in your team. Now, some of you are listening to this and you're thinking, how am I going to invest in my team? You know, you're a pastor of a big church. You have a big staff. Of course, you have a whole team of professional Christians that you can invest in. All I've got is volunteers, and I'm bivocational, and I'm doing this part-time. Hey, I completely understand. But whatever team you have, that's the team that you've got to invest in. And you've got to invest in them today so you can be ready for tomorrow. Because developing people takes a long time. Hey, let me tell you a story. When I was in college, there was a guy named Bob Tebow who decided he was going to invest in me. He taught me about the Bible. He taught me how to preach the gospel. He took me to the Philippines on multiple trips and taught me how to give a gospel invitation. For whatever reason, in just some 20-year-old kid, he saw potential. And he invested in me, and his investment in me radically changed my life. And his investment in me got me to the place where I could be effective in ministry. And it wasn't just him. There were other people, too, that God raised up to pour into my life. I'm so glad that God is in the people development business. And now I'm glad, as a 50-year-old man, that I have the opportunity to be a part of that awesome ecosystem that's powered by the Holy Spirit.
Okay, Trevin, so we just heard Jimmy talk about the ready leader. What stands out to you about what he had to say there?
Well, I love that emphasis that he had there at the end about how those who are mentored then become the mentors for other people. And you know, at some point, you have to have this shift take place. I think about this as people grow up. I mean, I don't know about you, but I have thought of myself as a young leader for a real, really long time. And it's hard to a few years ago, I met with somebody and they were like, and I didn't think they were that much younger than me. I mean, they were probably in their 30s. You know, I'm 40 now, but this is back when I was in my, I guess, late 30s or so. And they said something to the effect of, oh yeah, I've read your blog ever since I was growing up. And I remember just thinking like, wait, what? You know, like, what do you mean? Such a big, because I thought like we're peers, you know?
Yeah.
And something clicked with me that I realized, oh, I've been doing this for a while, more than 15 years now. And then at some point you have to have that mindset shift of, I've been looking for mentors and I've been looking for people to pour into me, but I need to also be looking for people to pour into.
Right.
And someone challenged me on that a few years ago and said, hey, who are you like mentoring and like writing and blogging and social media and and that kind of thing. And I didn't really have anybody. So I got a guy that I worked with and we had lunch every week. And I just, there's something that Jimmy says there about having that shift of, yes, you need mentors, but then you also need to look for people to mentor that I think is so key if we're going to actually develop people.
Yeah. He actually says in the beginning of it too, which I think is brilliant. Like I think a lot of people want to plant churches, but they don't make the connection between the reality that you really won't ever become effective at planting churches if you don't become effective at developing leaders. Developing leaders is like a fundamental skill for every church multiplier. Yeah. Otherwise, you're left to just go get church planters from the wild, you know, from other places where they were developed by others. So you inevitably have to connect with somebody who does develop people. There's no way to get around the development of people in church planting is the point.
That's right.
He points that out so well. All right, we're going to listen to another clip. We just went through these aren't, the best clips from the Sending Church Masterclass. These are just some clips that we wanted you to hear that represent kind of a solid, representation of what you're going to see in the course. So this is, this one's from D.A. Horton, and he talks about qualities of faithful church planters. And this one's specifically to kind of instruct the church, the sending church, as they're out there looking for people in their own congregations that might become church planters. So these are These are DA's qualities for faithful church planters.
The goal is to target the non-believing world rather than start a new work that is only being grown by the transferring of members from other congregations. What we want to see is a planter who can do exactly what Paul did. Paul says, "So being affectionately desirous of you, we were ready to share with you not only the gospel of God, but also our own selves, because you had become very dear to us." The first thing Paul says is that we were desirous of you. The Greek verb for that particular phrasing was used in one of two ways in this time of human history. Number one, it would be used to put on the epitaph of a grave for a child by the child's parents. They longed and they missed to be with their child, and they wish that they could be in the presence of their lost child. At the same time, it would be the word that was used to express the desire of a mother who had just given birth to the baby as someone else was cleaning the baby and preparing the baby to be nursed. There was this absence of a presence that the mother desired. And what Paul is saying is that those who are following his model of going into new cities to start a new work, they must desire to be around believers, but also the non-believing world. Does the church planting candidate have an evangelistic heart? Do they have a desire to make Jesus known through conversations with people who have no understanding of our risen Lord?
Okay, Clint, so that was D.A. Horton talking about qualities of fruitful church planters from our Sending Church Masterclass. What in that comment that he made about sharing the gospel, evangelistic spirit, sharing oneself, not just the message, like what stands out to you about what he says there?
Well, just how right it is. And D.A. is obviously speaking from a place where he's done a lot of development of young leaders and recognition of young leaders. And he has been a church planter himself. And so, he sounds like a person who's actually done this. You know, when you know how to do something and you hear somebody else talk about it, sometimes you can tell just by them talking, they really don't know how to do it. I'm sure that happens with you in writing. When somebody else says they're a writer, you can sort of decipher. I can do that with guitar playing. If somebody comes up and says, "Oh, I play the guitar too," and I can ask them like three questions, I can tell if they really play guitar or not, you know?
Well, that's probably me, Clint, because I think you play the guitar a lot better than I do. So,
well, I've been doing it for a long time.
Well, I'm feeling judged a little bit. If I pull out my guitar, you're going to be like, "Sherman, you don't really know what I know." Yeah.
Well, in this, using my silly analogy there, DA sounds like a guy who really knows how to do what he's talking about.
Yeah.
And when he talks about the gospel in oneself, it is so critical for the development of other people that we are willing not just to transfer knowledge to them, but we're actually willing to give them ourselves. And it's a subtle thing, but a person can tell when you're offering yourself to them. I always use this analogy when I talk in church planting about the difference in, I like tools too, you know, in my garage. And I think of that, like the best toolbox I could imagine, like the Snap-on one that's red and you got USB ports in the side where you can charge your phone and all that stuff. That's really cool. I would love to have one of those. But I also have a toolbox that was given to me by my grandfather that he made in his workshop. It's wooden. And, it's not worth anything to anybody else, but it's got a lot of value to me. And would I trade that for one of those fancy Snap-on toolboxes? And the answer is no, because it's personal. And we do have to give ourselves. And DA brings that out in such a good way and points out in the word where we're instructed to lead that way. So I think it's brilliant.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Definitely DA is stand out in that. We want to look at one more clip in this episode. We want to look at Craig Springer, and he's got a clip called "We," or from a session called "We, Not Just Me," and this one will encourage you, I think, as well.
I remember at one point looking at the evangelistic fruitfulness or lack of it in my own church. With all we were doing, I had to admit, none of it was dramatically moving the needle, leading many to a new relationship in Jesus Christ. Some of it worked and some said yes to Jesus. We baptized new people, but the numbers of people finding Christ in our church community and of those in our church being mobilized, it just wasn't achieving what we were praying and working and longing for. Jesus shows us a different way, a shift to "we," not just me. We see this "we"-based broad-reaching evangelism strategy in Jesus' ministry from the very beginning. Even in the way he called his very first disciples, he regularly placed himself in groups where he was surrounded by outsiders, interacting graciously with groups of people outside the religious crowd. And this approach became a powerful tool for bringing people into the kingdom. Jesus's strategy pulled together the explicitly untrained, yet freshly passionate Levi or Matthew, with a group of his very messy non-Jesus following friends and acquaintances, all around a table with a meal and an evening conversation that was in this small group-based evangelism that many outsiders discovered Christ. And that's what I'm suggesting, that we can mobilize the whole church in evangelism through small group-based evangelism, mirroring the experience of Levi with his friends around that table in Luke chapter 5. And maybe you're listening to all of this and thinking, you have got to be kidding me, Craig. There is no way I'm going to get a bunch of rough-edged atheists or those hostile towards faith together and have them dismantle the authority of Scripture and the supernatural reality of the resurrection all within earshot of each other. Are you kidding me? And all they're going to do is compound their own doubts along the way. And now, especially, I'm learning that you want me to primarily listen at those tables and draw out their questions rather than provide correction and direction. There is no way this is going to work. And yet, by every experience and every metric we've seen, it does work. It also worked for Jesus. Here's some of what is going on in a small group-based evangelism strategy. First, people are learning what it means to start out on a spiritual journey in community. That power of belonging lowers walls and opens hearts and minds through the power of listening and discussion. People begin their journey seeing what it's like to be part of a beautiful community that takes on kingdom values. This sets them up for a spiritual life of staying connected to community rather than disappearing after an anonymous hand-raising moment or just them seeking out individualistic consumer moments. Second, the curiosity of faith has a startling positive domino effect on others who are questioning faith. It's disarming to see other people who carry doubt to not be judged, and then to make progress in their faith journey over time. People start to see others come to faith. They start to see these new, previously atheist or agnostic friends experience breakthroughs in relationships and in their forgiveness, experiencing Jesus and healing, and they say, I want in. Their excitement begins to gather momentum and rub off on each other, and they begin to open their eyes, discovering Christ together. Agnostic and atheist guests alike see converts to Christ brand new and say, wow, what has happened to you? Last week you were one person, but this week you're totally changed. I'm open now. That's a miracle. Isn't salvation the greatest miracle we can ever show someone? This is the power of inclusive small group, we-based evangelism where groups are journeying together. And third, again, through small group evangelism, the average non-evangelist Christian can be encouraged to make friendships with those outside the church. And rather than needing to unpack the details of the substitutionary atonement all on their own, evangelism can become as simple as inviting a new friend to a dinner party and a conversation series, and let the power of that experience plus the content there draw people towards Christ.
Trevin, man, such good content there. What did you see or hear?
Yeah, so I've been hearing more and more about this in recent years, about this push for inviting people to the table. Not to the Lord's table. We're not talking about communion here. We're talking about to the table of fellowship and hospitality and that sense of belonging. And really, that sharing of meals together, or the inviting of like a small group-based evangelism where you can be around the table and listen and draw out questions, there's something almost Francis Schaeffer-like in that description, because Schaeffer was well known for, one of my favorite quotes from him is, someone asked, you know, if you had an hour to share the gospel with someone, what would you tell them? And he said something to the effect of, I would ask questions and listen for 55 minutes and then share the gospel in the last 5 minutes. Because what he was saying there is that, you know, to really have a pointed, contextualized way of bringing the message of the gospel to the heart of a particular person, you have to listen. Right. You've got to actually be around the table. And I love that emphasis on listening in community, showing that the spiritual journey is not an individual journey. It starts with community from the from the beginning. And I think that that's a very smart and wise approach to this question.
Yeah. Yeah. There's actually another masterclass video in the church planning masterclass where Chandler talks about the importance of meals and mission. And it's a really cool connection to this video that's in the opposite class. And it reminds me of Chester's book on the subject. He wrote Meals with Jesus. I think it was like a decade ago or something, but that book was, you know, it began to really shape, I think, the minds of a lot of church planners about how to use hospitality specifically in the home.
Yeah. You know, I've heard Tony Morita talk about it as well. Like it's a really important aspect of this. And you know, the other thing I would say about what Craig said there about the aspect of belonging is it reminds me of something that the great missionary theologian Leslie Newbegin always said when he talked about the church, when he said the church is the hermeneutic of the gospel. Mm. Like the church is to make the gospel visible.
All right.
To people. And one of the, you know, I get, and I've done this before myself, maybe you have as well. There have been these times when we would sort of denigrate the idea of bring someone to church so that someone else can share the gospel with them, you know, or bring someone into your small group so that someone better equipped than you can share the gospel. Yeah, if that means that we're not equipped ourselves as individuals to be able to speak the gospel message, then I totally get where that critique is coming from. But let's not in our critique of that sort of church-based evangelism miss the beauty and the power of the church corporately, communally, like the power of being invited into that community to witness what the life of Jesus looks like fleshed out on display. Like there is true evangelistic power in the community of the cross. And I think that's something that Craig's video reminded me of.
He did. When I was listening to Craig's video, I listened to it again in preparation for this conversation. And when I was listening to it, I was reminded of this guy in my church that came to faith, and he was giving his testimony in front of his baptism. And he basically said, he named like seven people in the church that he didn't know before, but played different roles. And he talked about how they coordinated their efforts so well. And the truth is they didn't coordinate anything. They were just friends. They love each other and they loved lost people. And they were, you know, and it's like one of us connected with him, you know, first in his front yard. And then the other one played, you know, a role in some marital counseling for him. And another one did this and another one did that. And when he was after a year and he'd come to faith, he's standing in front of a baptistry saying like this whole network of people came around me. It was not one person that led me to faith. It was this community. And it's powerful, really powerful.
Yeah. That is beautiful. And that helps people that don't feel like they're that equipped for evangelism to recognize that they may have spiritual conversations that are part of someone's journey, moving them toward faith, even though they might not have been the one to cross the threshold of faith with them. And I think that's vital for church members to recognize that they all play a part.
You know, one thing I think we should talk about, before we wrap up this episode, this is the Sending Church Masterclass specifically. So again, we're thinking are the church that we have in mind is the church that's been existing, maybe doing good ministry in their community, maybe vibrant, maybe lacking vibrancy, just a regular church, you know, bad coffee, ugly carpet, just a regular church. And that church has a leader or some leaders who have a heart to lead their church to plant or multiply, but they don't know quite how to get started. And these resources are for them. And I think the thing that's so interesting to highlight is the diversity here. Like we have Craig Springer, like his background, he's the president of Alpha USA, which if you're not familiar with Alpha, I used Alpha overseas when I was working overseas. It's very popular overseas as an evangelistic tool. And he's just an evangelistic genius. Like he's done it on a high level with lots of different types of churches and lots of different denominations. DA, who's a bit of an academic, but also a practitioner. And then Jimmy, who's just, you know, been all over everything in our world and Sin Network church planting for so long. And this just is just a good swath, a representation of the kind of diversity that we have out there.
Yeah. And it's, you know, it's been an honor for our resources team to be able to have a part in bringing together these voices and putting this course together to give away for free. That we hope will really have an impact on churches that want to multiply.
Yeah, I think so too. I think this is exactly what Ed had in mind when he was envisioning this too, just us being able to put something together that would be a real tool in use for churches to be able to give it to them totally for free. It's just a real privilege to be able to be involved in this. So, Trevin, thanks so much for having this conversation with me. The Sending Church Masterclass is available right now. It's totally free, like all the other resources on newchurches.com. Just go over to the courses page and you'll find the Sending Church Masterclass, and you can download those videos and watch them and share them with people in your church. You can use them as a leader's training or a small group curriculum, or you can even pass them along to folks inside your church that you want to watch them and have them walk through the video. So hopefully this will serve you. We're not asking for anything from you except for your email address so we can communicate with you. So head on over to newchurches.com, click on the courses page, and look for the Sending Church Masterclass.
You've been listening to the New Churches Podcast, brought to you by Send Network. If you like what you heard, take a few minutes to rate and review us or share this episode with a friend. It's the best way to show your support. To find more reliable resources to start your new church well, visit newchurches.com.